God's grace, his mercy, and his peace always be a blessing to each and every one of you. Amen. The text for today is that third paragraph written in our Holy Gospel lesson. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Here ends the reading of our Lord's word. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who was dead, buried, and then on Easter morn, 3 days later, rose to full life again. In his most powerful and gracious name, my dear fellow Christian friends. A man was driving down some country road when he came upon a detour sign. You know, one of those black and yellow detour signs. And it said, "Follow the detour. Road ahead, impassable." Well, let me tell you, this dude had just shelled out big bucks for his fancy SUV with all four-wheel drive. No way was he going to waste a lot of time following some roundabout detour. Macho Man simply said to himself, "Now I can see what this thing really can do." Well, after driving a ways through some heavy muck and mud, suddenly he had to slam onto the brakes. A bridge had been torn out right in front of him. Of course, now he had no choice but to turn around his now filthy SUV and go back and follow the directions of the detour sign. However, as he's bosing his way back to the detour sign, you see, someone had put up another sign. Yes, someone who had made the same mistake painted this sign to read, "Welcome back, Doubting Thomas." No doubt about it, in this world, there have always been Doubting Thomases. And guess what? There always will be. Today's gospel surely is an appropriate one for all the doubters out there in the world who never seem to find a way to come inside of a church and hear this gospel. Ah, but let's remember, St. John wrote this gospel and our Lord put it in this holy book for all of us doubters who came here this morning. The real sad thing, however, is that this gospel doesn't have a chance in China to be heard by all the hardcore atheists out in the world. I'm talking about the hardcore doubters like Mr. Robert Ingersoll, for example, who was a well-known atheist in our country back in the 19th century. To be sure, he was a very prominent doubter in his day. He traveled all around our country, these United States, giving lectures which prove that God doesn't exist at all. Oh, yes, Ingersoll made no bones about his non-believing convictions. His goal in life, he said, was to destroy Christianity and all religions off the face of America. Here's how he would often begin one of his lectures. He would walk up to the lectern and he would pull out of his pocket a big gold watch. "In the next 5 minutes," he would say, "I'm going to give God the perfect opportunity to prove before your eyes that he does exist. Yes, within the next 5 minutes, if God does really exist, I challenge him to strike me dead." The crowd would come with a hush, and those 5 minutes seemed like a lifetime. When the 5 minutes were up, Ingersoll would double over in laughter and say, "See, God doesn't exist." A newspaper on one occasion reported that a woman at one of these lectures stood up and shouted, "Mr. Ingersoll, your little demonstration does not prove the existence of God. All your demonstration proves," the woman said, "is that God doesn't take any orders from some atheist." For sure, today's gospel lesson most likely will not reach the hearts of the hardcore doubters out in the world. However, for those of us here, if we've ever had doubts about God and his promises to us, if you are now having doubts about God, then surely today's gospel lesson speaks very loudly and clear to all of us. Yes, indeed, today's message is for all of us doubters. For example, we've had our doubts about God. I've often wondered, am I a Christian just because that's the way my mom and dad raised me? Yes, today's message is for those doubters who have or are now facing a tough time in their lives, which is causing them to question God and his promises. The Bible tells us that God promises to hear and answer all of our prayers, but I'm not getting any answers from him. How many times have we heard those words spoken? Well, we better get into the gospel lesson. Here we meet Mr. Doubting Thomas. How amazing it is that people who have never opened up the Bible in all of their lives, and yet they know all about Mr. Doubting Thomas. In fact, he's so well known in our world that you would think his name, first name is Doubting and his last name is Thomas. However, my friends, I think we should be more fair with judging Thomas. First of all, let's remember some very significant things about this man. Remember that Jesus chose him to be part of a very few 12 disciples. That's how much our Lord thought of dear Thomas. And let's also remember that at the end of his life, Thomas was a martyr. He was executed because he believed so strongly in Jesus Christ. And let's also take into account of those first 8 days after Easter. What was it like for Thomas? Grieving bitterly over the crucifixion of his master. Oh, sure, he heard those rumors about how the Savior's tomb was empty that morn. But you tell me, what rational human being could believe that a dead person, a corpse, could come back to life again? How many times have you seen that happen? I don't think that you and I would believe that anymore, those rumors from those women, than we would believe that Elvis is still alive and working in a service station up in Green Bay. No, Thomas simply and succinctly put it on the line when he said to his friends, in effect, "You guys can believe whatever you want, but I have to be sure. I have to touch. I have to feel the wounds in his hands where the soldier's spear was jabbed into his heart, in his chest. Unless I can see the holes," Thomas said, "I will not believe." You think that's a pretty sad commentary on Thomas? I tell you what, I think we're all very glad today that he made that request. Are we not? In fact, if he hadn't doubted the resurrection of Jesus, most likely, all of us here this morning would have. And add to that fact how the Bible records this miserable incident. It doesn't whitewash it. It doesn't try to cover Thomas's doubts up. Indeed, in looking all of Scripture, how wonderful it is for us that the Bible always reveals the sins of its great heroes of our faith. For example, not once does the Bible whitewash the sins of a man like Abraham or a man like David in the Old Testament. Oh, no question. What a blessing it is today for you and me that Thomas asked this question, exactly what it would take for him to stop doubting not only our Lord's resurrection from the dead, but also his own resurrection to life eternal. Yes, Thomas put his desire right on the line when he said, if I could just see, if I could just touch his wounds, then I would believe. Oh, to be sure, Thomas wasn't the first Christian to ask for a sign from God. And you and I can bet he won't be the last. Let's be sure that we fully understand exactly what Thomas wanted to see with his own eyes. Quite literally, you see, Thomas was asking. He made the request to actually see a dead man fully alive again. Thomas, you see, would not accept someone's imagination, someone's dream. No, Thomas wanted to see the ex-dead buried Jesus walking, talking, eating again. Like any one of us, Thomas never expected Jesus to rise from the dead, to live and breathe again. That just doesn't happen. Well, it doesn't happen unless, of course, that person is the Almighty God Himself. Oh, to be sure, the resurrection of Jesus was totally unexpected by doubting Thomas. Unexpected. How often don't we see God doing the unexpected in the Bible? Totally unexpected things. Take the Christmas scene, for example. Who of us would ever expect to see that the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, would come down to earth and be born of a virgin? Who would ever expect that the Almighty Son of God would come down to earth and be born in an animal's barn? Who of us would really expect to see the Son of God Himself brutally executed on a cross to forgive our sins? Oh, indeed, so often God does exactly what is totally unexpected by you and me. Well, that's really what happened here again at the last part of our gospel lesson. You see, the gospel writer, St. John, says that 8 days after Easter, the disciples were hiding again for fear of the Jews behind locked doors when suddenly there's Jesus. And why is he there again? For the sake of Thomas. And notice how Jesus talks to Thomas. Does his voice carry disgust and disappointment with him for his doubts? No, our Lord speaks to him with the same love that he had for Thomas when he died on the cross for his eternal salvation. Yes, indeed. Jesus doesn't speak to Thomas with ridicule and belittling, but with divine love, the same love that he has for me. Three more sentences for you to think about. The last part of our lesson says, Jesus was speaking. Have you believed because you have seen me? He said to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Who is Jesus blessing in those words? That's right. You and me. God bless your faith for this world and for the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in our crucified and risen Lord. Amen.
We respond to the word by confessing together our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the